Okay, we're going to have something practical, as if everything else for us wasn't practical. But Andrew's going to come and give us some practical steps. Welcome, brother.
So just thank you, Randy, and all our elders, just for your leadership. Wonderful blessing. Let me pray for us here. Father, thank you that you hear our cry. Lord, that you hear the cry of the widow. You hear the cry of the orphan. Lord, you hear the cry of the immigrant and the refugee. Lord, we praise and worship you. You are the one who hears our cries. Amen. Amen. So my name's Andrew Stern. I'm here at New City in St. Louis and with Restore St. Louis here. I direct a ministry called Workday, whose purpose is to lead God's people in spirit-led deeds of justice and mercy. Amen. We're actually going to start off with a video. So if you could go ahead and start there.
The corner of Holdermont and Romaine is like a holy ground to me. Oh, honey, we had trees and beautiful landscape. They had all kinds of stores out there. Central Hardware, Sears Roebuck, Wilson was blooming when we moved by here. The block has really gone down. We have all kinds of people walking down that street all the time tonight. And matter of fact, they were so bold, they came in my backyard and stole my lawn more than my weed eater. On the corner down on Holdermont Road, Maine, we have prostitutes down there, drug dealers down there. My father was a farmer, and he taught us how to raise different things. Pull corn, dug peanuts, plum tree, pear tree, peach tree. I was raised up having plenty of everything, so I guess I just took having a garden from that. I tried two or three times to give the garden up. I got tired of being down on the corner by myself. So then here you come.
We were there to pull weeds, right? But the work that had already been going on, with Miss Bernice being there for over 50 years and her combating every evil in its every form on that block, it felt like it was more about we weren't there to do the work in the garden, but to witness what God is doing.
And that was certainly a blessing to me, to have someone to come out, take time out of their busy schedule to help me in my garden. And you really don't know how I appreciate it. If I had 10,000 tongues, I'd use every one of them to say, thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's not so much about the work that they're actually doing, because those weeds will grow back. But if I can get my students in a position to see believers that are living out their calling in their neighborhood, if I can expose them to what it looks like to love your neighbor as yourself in a really real way, that's a bigger value for me, and I feel like that's something they really came away with. And your eternal perspective that no man can harm me, I'm going to continue to do the Lord's will because my life is in his hands, that attitude is something I aspire to have in my own life. To put it simply, you are like Christ. You are like Jesus in your neighborhood.
I know I do not live in Ladue, and I'm not trying to live in Ladue, but I'd like to live in a place where anybody would like to come and live. I'm like Martin Luther King. I've been to the mountain, and I looked over, and I've seen the promised land. So that's why I'm praying and trusting in God that we will continue to do the garden down on the corner.
Amen. Miss Bernice, could you stand up, please? Amen. Amen. When Suzanne spoke, she said that we need to change the narrative. About 15 years ago, I made a video. And so we do the summer teams and the spring break teams and all that. And my video really that I made really focused around, to put it bluntly, white suburban teenagers who were coming in and doing all this work, all of which, you know, praise God. To change the narrative, we need to give voice to new storytellers. And so the producer and director of this video is Olivia Pettit. Could you stand, please? Amen. Olivia is part of that generation of new storytellers who will be the producers and the directors to help tell the story of Mrs. Bernice and others, is one of our professors. Amen. I'd like to start with that message specifically, I think the title had Widows, Orphans, and Strangers. This morning we're going to focus on widows specifically. Jesus wants to bless us with widows. So why and who? The primary reason we walk with widows is that God commands us to, right? And we've had a lot of presentations already. I hope you all and myself can go back to those. Jesus has commanded us to walk with widows. The Old Testament's replete with that. James tells us to care for widows and orphans in their distress. The second reason, and I think it was Pastor Kenny Smith hit on it last night from Psalm 41, God actually wants to bless us as we walk with those widows. What I'd like to do is actually tell mine in story form here this morning, and it revolves around one of our widows, Miss Kinney. I had been working in my current role for about 2 years when I met Miss Kinney, what we've done in the past in terms of meeting widows who are outside of our congregation is we've gone to the public school that's just across the street here, talked with the principal and said, hey, would you send a letter home with students just saying, hey, here's a church. They would like to help you work on your home, cut your grass, whatever you need. And then we've gone to City Hall and talked with the code inspectors and the city manager and said, you know, we would love if there are folks who have code violations, specifically seniors, folks with disabilities. We know privacy issues, but could you give them our name and contact? And here's a flyer, and then they can contact us. Really interesting. When we met with the city manager, it was like his jaw dropped. You're what? You're a church, and you want to help? I mean, unfortunately. But can I say, in God's grace, that relationship with the city manager and the code inspectors has actually been a blessing back on us here in these older buildings. Amen. Hallelujah. So Miss Kinney was one of these widows 12 years ago who got a flyer, somehow heard about us, called us up, said, hey, I need my porch painted. Could you come over? And so we went over with a group of volunteers and painted her porch on a Saturday. Now, the context of this 2 years in was I was telling God that he could not save seniors who weren't saved. True confessions, right? Okay. Walking with 60, 70-year-olds who weren't believers and just thinking, I can cajole, I can bribe, I can sing and dance. These folks aren't going to come to Christ. And I was telling God that. I wasn't really praying, okay? That's where I was at. And so this particular widow, Miss Kinney, we went and painted her porch. And she said, "What? Who are you? Why are you doing this?" And the volunteers just said, hey, we're doing this in Jesus' name. This is free. She asked, well, what church are you part of? She was literally only, she was 3 blocks from here. She said, well, I want to come to your church. Came to church the next day. After the service said, I want to become a Christian. I want to join this family. Okay? And so the following week, Mike Parker, who's a pastor here, and I went to her home. And at 70 years old, Miss Kinney became a child of God. Amen? And the story continues, right? In the next month, Miss Kinney started a food pantry out of her own house. She became an evangelist on her street. She invited all her neighbors, who she knew really well from other ways, to church. She started reading to children here at the school every week. She became a greeter right out there. In short, Miss Kinney's life was turned upside down. Why do we walk with widows and care for them? Because they bless our socks off. Where do we meet widows? We meet them in their homes. For years, we visited Miss Kinney at her home. She did invite us to barbecues. If you need a barbecue recipe, go meet a widow. We, the church and our family, had Miss Kinney over for Easter, Christmas. Various families in the church all did that holidays because she didn't have children, and all of her family was from Louisiana. She was part of that great migration coming north. The deacons walked with Miss Kinney through her finances as money got tighter, as she got older, and as she had more health issues. And so, deacons, you know, you just got to keep rototilling this stuff. And so remember my wife, Katie, going back, you know, sometimes it seemed month after month where the cable guy would call or the phone guy would call, and without realizing it, you know, she's getting charged another 50, 100 bucks a month. And so the deacons would have to call the phone company and the cable company and say, you know, knock it off, right? When do we walk with widows? You could say, how long? We walk with widows until they die. About 4 years ago, I went up to pick up Miss Kinney for Thanksgiving dinner. When I came to the door, she was clearly out of her mind. Now, the previous Sunday, 4 days before Thursday, she was serving. She was greeting folks. She wasn't clothed right. She couldn't talk clearly. I went home and called my wife and said, something's wrong with Miss Kinney. And so she went over and cared for her. The next day, she was admitted to the hospital with dementia with a urinary tract infection. For 3 weeks, various church members, folks visited her at St. Mary's Hospital. And then suddenly she disappeared. We didn't know where she had gone. A play brother or play son had told the hospital that he was her power of attorney. And he had checked her out of the hospital. And unfortunately, over the next 3 months, he stole her car. He robbed her of her life savings. And then placed her in a lockdown dementia ward about 20 minutes north of here. Didn't know where she was. About a month or two later, we got a call from the office from a social worker who said, hey, there's this woman, Miss Kinney. Do you know who she is? And we're like, wow. So we found her. We were able, through a kind of long process, to move her to a nursing home near here. What happened in that process, though? She had no children. The family in Louisiana at that point just weren't responsive. And so we were wrestling, deacons, elders, what do we do? Said, well, someone needs to become power of attorney for her. And so in that process, my wife and I became Miss Kinney's power of attorney. And in a wonderful way, we had already called her mom in ways, and she called her children, our children, her children. And it reminded me of the bookends of Jesus' life, where at the beginning, prophetess Anna, the widow, is welcoming Jesus into the world. And do you remember on the cross what happens? When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. And so in a wonderful way, we celebrate adoption of children. And that's really wonderful. I think we need to continue to think about our elders, our widows, also as family members, as new mothers, as new grandparents. And so I've got white children and black children and in my family because we've adopted. And in a wonderful way, my children know her as another grandma. Isn't that a blessing? So we walk with widows where they live as a community of believers in Jesus who seek to meet their basic needs and see Jesus bless our relationship with them. We seek relationship and ultimately a family life. We're often asked about liability issues when we walk with the poor. I believe Jesus' response is best. We are to lay down our lives for others. Interestingly, over the years, we have groups that come and they ask us about liability waivers. And we always go back to our lawyers and say, what do we need to do this? And every year they just say, it's a piece of paper. If they want to sue you, they're going to sue you. Take courage. You have a great advocate on high. Amen. Miss Kinney's now suffering from dementia more and more. One day we were recently eating at a McDonald's in a park near where she lives now. Like I shared with you at the beginning, I was in a similar place in terms of wrestling with the Lord. And this time it was, Lord, I'm struggling with Miss Kinney. Sometimes she's not remembering my name as I talk to her. She forgets who I am and so on at times. And so I was kind of frustrated with the Lord again. And I asked God, hey, just if possible, could Miss Kinney just remember something? And so I asked Miss Kinney, do you remember when you were saved? And she said, oh, honey. She always says that to me. She said, oh, do I ever. What a change the Lord has done in my heart. And the story continues, in God's grace and mercy, the family in Louisiana has reached out to us and they've said, and friends, they've said, hey, we would really like Miss Kinney to come here. You all have enjoyed and been blessed by her. We would love her to come back home. And that was a wrestle for us. The elders and the deacons met, and for my wife and I, even for our kids. But in the process, I went down in December to Louisiana, to Bastrop. Just north of Monroe, near the border of Arkansas. Never been to Bastrop before. And what was interesting is I actually heard a lot about Miss Kinney's former life. She was quite a woman, okay? She was out there in the world. And in God's grace, those same relatives, in a sense, that are still struggling outside of the kingdom, we got to share the goodness and the mercy and the love of Jesus, of what it's like to be in the family of God, to have your life changed upside down, even by a widow. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm actually done early here. So I think I've got questions for you here. I don't know if Randy wants to come up before then, but that's what I got for you. All right? Amen.
I just want to take a moment here of Andrew's 2 minutes left just to say when we started the church planning, the very first thing I did was seek out widows. This is Luke 4. This is the justice of the kingdom. If you wonder how you're going to get into the community, how you're going to connect with people, how are you going to touch the political powers in the community? When you go to the widow, you are going where God's heart is. And the connections to the political structures in the community here, to those in positions of power, the dynamic of people seeing the love of Jesus in practical ways. Part of what I want to do is just get up and say, we have turned church planning sometimes into a science or an issue we're struggling for, when God himself has given us the blueprint right there in Scripture. Go to the widow. Go to the fatherless. Go to the immigrant. Go to the poor. And love them. And let the Holy Spirit lead you in that. And for all church planters, seek his kingdom and he will build the church. Don't think about how you're going to build the church. You think about how you're going to seek the kingdom and proclaim the gospel and make his justice known. And he will build the church. And so this is, we've been doing this ministry. We have widows we've been walking with for the 25 years we've been here. And they are just an amazing gift of God back to us in so many ways. So still got 30 more seconds, Randy, but you can take it from here.
Okay, this is our next to last table time. And in our final table time, what I'm going to ask you to do is to make sure everybody at the table gets prayed for. So that's coming the next time. But this will be your last time to talk practical stuff. And so you might want to use the questions that are here after this discussion. You might want to specifically... Oh, my time's up. You might want to specifically talk from your own church perspective. Share with your group, who are the widows in your church? One of the questions I often ask when I train deacons around the country is, do you know how many widows there are in your church? There are already widows attending your church. Then there are widows in the community. And those are people, not just as a category, but you ought to begin to know them as people. And if you're intentional about that, it'll happen. And usually they'll bless you more than you'll ever bless them. Just the way God's grace and mercy seems to work. So, okay, time to talk shop in your groups. You have 12 minutes.